want to mention that we have a sign up in our Welcome Center for our community groups. Community groups are smaller groups of Graham folks that meet twice a month for fellowship and discipleship and leadership development and for mission. Now, Graham is really just too big to have significant relationships with everyone. It's impossible. But we are growing smaller through our community groups as we grow larger. This is the New Testament model. The church gathered together for worship on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and then scattered through the week for discipleship and learning and fellowship and to fulfill the Great Commission. And you see this all through the book of Acts. And so we hope that everyone who calls Graham Church home would connect with other people through a community group. It's how growth and mission happened. We're starting a short 3-week series this morning called Missional. Now, that's a strange word, missional, not a word we use very often. It simply means you and I are sent by God on mission. The purpose of this series is to try to get you to look outward. We've been looking inward a lot over the last year or two as we moved and started new things here at our new location. But we need to be looking outside the walls of this building, outside the bounds of our relationship that we have just here in this place. It's difficult in the U.S. because our country is neither fish nor fowl. We're not like France. France is definitely post-Christian. We're not like India, where the majority of people are from another religion. But we no longer live in Christendom. In the United States, we truly do have large pockets of traditional conservative people, and so we haven't really been pushed into a true missionary encounter with the people around us. And so in 2017 in America, at least in the Midwest, it's still possible to fill the seats in a church by having better programs, better music than the church down the street. But by and large, we really don't know how to engage people outside who are truly immersed in our post-Christian culture. Remember, you gray hairs, remember the old advertisement for Oldsmobile? This is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is not your father's world. This is not your father's culture. The world we live in is radically different than the one that I grew up in just a few years ago. Television is different. Education is different. Neighborhoods are different. People think and they talk differently, radically differently than they did a generation or two ago. So how do we reach a people with the good news of Jesus Christ in a world that is changing at breakneck speed? Where people are no longer familiar with Christianity. People don't know where the book of Genesis is. They don't know what are the four gospel accounts. They don't know the story of Jesus' life. It's all a blank page to them. Well, we're going to start this morning by looking at the mission of God in the world and at a church that was amazingly effective at reaching its own world. And Michelle read about that in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. This church did it. This was an amazing church. It was stuck in Jerusalem. It was very localized. And then, wow, bang. In the space of a very short period of time, they expanded to reaching people near them and far away from them. They lived missionally. So the book of Acts is about the history of earliest Christianity. And we get a pretty good idea here in Acts how early Christianity happened, where its power came from, what made it grow so explosively fast. What happened? Well, because of Stephen's execution and the persecution that followed, Christians were scattered everywhere. They were scattered all across the known world. And as they went out for the first time, the church actually became the church on mission, which is what Jesus wanted them to be. Now, there's a lot of similarities between the world of the early church in Jerusalem and our world. In many ways, the United States is like the Greco-Roman world in the book of Acts. Because Rome conquered everybody in the first century. And the borders went away, and the culture became pluralistic. Lots of people followed lots of gods, or no gods, or many gods, or whatever gods they wanted. And at that time, there was lots of peace, and there was lots of mobility. People could travel. And then the persecution came. People were scattered. And as they went, they shared the gospel. And many people were healed, and this caused great joy. When persecuted, the early church became the church on mission. Now that term mission, by the way, that term mission comes from a Latin word that means to be sent, missio, to be sent out. And that word mission has been captured and used almost everywhere. It seems everybody has a mission statement. Every company and every organization has a mission statement. But I think in English, the word mission really belonged to the Christian church. Now, what is amazing is that these people in Acts who were such successful missionaries, they did not have a carefully planned strategy. They were forced out. They were pushed to leave their safety net. They were thrust out of their homes because it was no longer safe. They were literally thrown into mission. And when you look at the first four verses, we see that when the persecution broke out, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Now, the apostles, they were the top dogs. They were the real leaders. They were the clergy. They stayed. But everybody else, it says everybody but the apostles, basically everybody but the top clergy went out and they were scattered. And they decided to go to various places. And one of the places they went was to Samaria. And that was a really big deal. There's this huge racial gulf between Jerusalem and Samaria. But here the people left Jerusalem and they're going up to Samaria. It says, those who had been scattered, that's everybody. Those who had been scattered were preaching the word. Now, when you and I hear that word preaching, it actually means public speaking. And what we think of when we think of preaching, and you read it in this translation, you think of what I'm doing this morning, getting up and standing in front of a bunch of people and speaking. But actually, it's the Greek word evangelize. It's translated here, preaching. What this means is that every single Christian moved at that point from being a ministry consumer to being a ministry provider. They moved from soaking it in from the apostles to going out to the world and sharing what they had been given. Every single Christian began to take that life-changing message of Jesus Christ and began to gossip it, began to embody it, began to talk about it all the time. So, question. How do we get from being a persecuted, struggling little church, localized in one community, and in just a few years to a powerfully dynamic world church that impacts the entire planet? How does that happen? Well, to understand that and to see our own role in this thing, you've got to see two things. Number one, God is on mission. And number two, God sent us on mission. Pretty simple. Number one, God is on mission. Christian mission is more than just the department of the church, more than just the work of trained professionals. The biblical God is by nature a missionary God. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit and His disciples into the world. So the Bible is all about God and what God is doing in the world. And it's the true story of what God is doing in the world. The Bible is ultimately at its core, not a book about how to live, not a book that's mainly about me. The Bible is all about the mission of God. God has come into the world on mission. And Everything in the Bible points to God on mission. The grand story of the Bible is about God coming into our world and making himself known. That's how the Bible starts. God creates the world, and then Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve screw things up. They sin, and what does God do? God comes, and they're hiding, and God comes seeking them, looking for them. God is a missionary God. God making himself known, it's God's purpose in creation. That's why he created the world, to make himself known. It's God's purpose in redemption. That's why he saved the world. He's making himself known. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. So I morning, bright and early, the stars were still out, and they were saying, God exists. God is. Romans 1:20, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. What God has created declares that there is a God, who he is. And so the whole Bible presents a God who's involved in missionary activity, telling us who he is, from his purposeful, goal-oriented act of creation at the beginning in Genesis, through the completion of his mission and the redemption of all creation, new heavens, new earth, the creation of a new humanity in Christ, redeemed from every nation and every blood and every tribe and tongue and language. God is all through that whole process, through the whole Bible, a missionary God. God is a missionary God. And mission is rooted in the identity of God himself. God is on mission. And Jesus Christ is the living, breathing embodiment of that mission. Jesus identifies himself. The Gospel of John. Gospel of John. 40 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am sent. I am sent. And his whole purpose is to proclaim the mission of God. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, speaking to God his Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Then near the end of the Gospel of John, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus Christ is a missionary Savior. God is on mission. He is on mission to make himself known to his creation for the purpose of redeeming it and restoring creation to a right relationship with God. And to accomplish that mission, he formed a church. Part of that church is Graham Church. And part of Graham Church is you. Therefore, you are on mission with God. God is on mission. Number two, God sent us on mission. To think missionally is to realize that the Bible is about the mission of God, and being Christian is to join the mission of God. So when you read the Bible, the church is not a place or an event. The church is a people who are sent. The whole church is on mission. God never calls you to bless you without also sending you out to be a blessing. So here in Acts chapter 8, everyone except the apostles were scattered. Those who were scattered proclaimed the word wherever they went. So who preached the word? Who talked about the word? Who evangelized? Everybody except the apostles. Where was the strategy here in Acts chapter 8? There was no strategy. There was no business plan. There was no five-year goal set. They just went. Nobody wrote out a mission plan that was approved by the board and then put into action. This happened because ordinary believers were proclaiming the word wherever they went. So really, when you stop and think about it, the apostles were not missionary strategists. They just weren't. I mean, they really didn't have a mission strategy. They didn't need that. Every Christian was empowered by the gospel, and every Christian had a story to tell, and they told it. So you see, this mission here in Acts chapter 8, this mission bubbled up from the grassroots. People were living for the vision. And so the leadership of the church was not too controlling, not too remote. And so every Christian becomes a ministry provider. Before they were ministry consumers. Now they're ministry providers, and they're going out and declaring the good news. And the implications of this are huge. Here's just three of them. Three implications. Number one, mission is primary. Primary. Not just for Graham Church as an entity, as an institution, but for every one of us who is part of Graham Church. Everything in your life is about mission. God did not put me here just to live and survive. I am here strategically on mission. Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. So what we see here in Acts is that every Christian is called and sent to live on mission. And really, this ought not to surprise us, because every single one of the four gospel accounts and the book of Acts contains this great commission, this sending. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John chapter 20, Acts 1-8. Every one of these accounts has this Jesus Christ sending us out on mission. We're on God's mission to go and make disciples. And so what's amazing about this is not the task of professionals, especially gifted foreign missionaries. I love specially gifted foreign missionaries. I love what Katie and Gabriel and Rachel and others are doing from our church, serving in foreign places. That's so incredibly important and necessary to reach every tribe and language and nation on the face of the earth. But missions is not limited to that. This is the mission of all of us. Missions is what your life is about. We've been given, says Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, we help bring people back to God. Jesus came to advance God's kingdom, and we're called to do the same thing. So, thinking missionally means that I realize that missions is not just something that I fund through my regular Sunday giving. By the way, do you know that when you give to Graham Church, a percentage of that goes to fund foreign missionaries all around the world? But that isn't all that missions is. Missions is not just something I pray for. Please pray for our missionaries. Pray, as Gabriel's been asking us, pray for the Kaa poor people in Brazil. Pray for our mission. But that's not all that missions is. Missions is what I'm called to do. Why? Because you and I live in a world that desperately needs good news. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God has placed you on a mission in this world. God didn't put you here just to take up space. You're not here just to go after your own personal goals. You've been given an assignment by God Himself. And once you're in His family, your life changes. You have a new reason for living. Your life isn't just about you anymore. It's about God's mission. Acts 13:47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So the church's fundamental identity is we're sent. That's who we are. When you become a part of the church, when you are born again and you're placed into the family of God, your identity is now sent. That's God's plan for the whole world. That's His mission for you. So a Christian is not a spiritual consumer coming to get his or her needs met and then going home. I'm called to be a blessing. God sent us on mission. Mission is primary. Number two, second implication. Missions includes evangelism and seeking the good of our community. When you think missionally, when you think like the early church in the book of Acts, you realize that missions involves not only speaking the good news, but living it in the community in which you live. We bring the kingdom of God. We bring God's justice. We bring God's goodness in our community. We're sent by God to do good. So look at everything that happened when these Christians went into Samaria, Acts chapter 8. They brought the word. They brought the good news of Jesus Christ. They brought great works. They brought racial reconciliation. Now, you think that things are bad between the blacks and the whites in America, and they are. You think things are bad? They were just as bad between the Jews and the Samaritans. And here go these Christians, scattered by God, going up to Samaria, bringing racial reconciliation. So their good news wasn't limited to just talk. They embodied the good news. What we see here is that people want to see that your deeds match your words. Talk is cheap. Not just about words. It's about people embodying those words. People need to see Christians living out their faith. And so they went into Samaria and they did miracles. And the miracles verified the speaker. But that was not the main point of the miracles. The purpose of Jesus' miracles was redemptive. Redemptive. When the crowds heard Philip, when they saw what he was doing, they listened to him. People want to see that your deeds match your words. In other words, part of our sending assignment as Christians is that we do things to fix our broken world. We don't just talk about, oh, someday Jesus is coming back and he's going to fix this broken world. That's all true. That's our hope. That's what we long for. That's true. But until that happens, we are bringing the kingdom in. We're doing things to try to fix things that are broken around us, to help broken people. Talk is cheap. God doesn't just need us to talk. He needs us to live the kingdom, to intentionally connect with hurting and broken people, serve our neighbors, help them do their homework, adopt a hurting child, help an international student get adjusted to life in the USA. Mow a widow's lawn. Drive someone to the doctor. Intentionally cross racial barriers. Sit down and actually listen to what's bugging your enemy. Show grace where it's not deserved. Do things like the Special Need Harvest Festival. Now, what tangible benefit do we get from that? I mean, not a lot of those people, can I just be blunt, okay? Not a lot of those special needs people are going to line the coffers of our offering plate. They're not. We do it because we love Jesus and we want to be like Jesus and we want to do everything we can to help ease the suffering of a hurting and broken world. So, I mean, just stop and think about it. Those unchurched people who live near you, who you go to school with, that you work with, what do most of them think of when they hear the expression Christianity? What do they think of? Many of them, what they think of are the things that we're against. We're against gay marriage. We're against abortion. Or maybe they think we're against a certain brand of politics, and they think that because we're Christian, we align with a certain other brand of politics. What the Bible says is the world ought to look at us and say, these people are good to us. They are different in a good way. These people love people. They care about our community. They want the good of our town. They want the good of our schools. They want the good of our parks. They want the good of our families. So mission not only includes speaking evangelism, but it includes seeking the good of the community around us. Number three, third implication. Mission, thinking missionally, living missionally, means the church is a counterculture. The church is different, radically different. The church is a contrast community. God has called us to invade the world as a contrast community, distinct from the world. I love traveling to Amish country. You can tell who they are, can't you? I mean, it's really easy. You can pick them out. And, you know, they're, you know, the horse and buggies and all that stuff, like going back in time. And, you know, no problem picking them. But that's not what a contrast community is as is described in Scripture. You can dress ultra-conservative and be totally unchristian in your heart and lives. When we're talking about a contrast community, we're not necessarily talking about the style of music you listen to or the style of clothes that you wear, all those external things. We're talking about our hearts. What we love, what we are passionate about, what we live for, that we live together as believers. the quality and distinctiveness and the beauty of our life together really is a major part of our witness. I'm not making this up. Jesus said this. People see how believers live together and they know that there's something attractive about Jesus Christ and his gospel. And this is what's really amazing. By dispersing the church, by pushing the church out through the world, in Acts chapter 8, God sent them out to do what the nation of Israel was supposed to have done and never did. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament was supposed to be a shining light to the world of this is God. This is the true God. This is what he has done. And what did Israel do? They failed miserably. So in a manner of speaking, God rebooted. And he didn't keep them there localized in the land of Palestine, but he sent them out to be a light to the world. And Jesus said that the quality and visibility of our love, Christians' love for each other, shows that the Father sent him. John 17, 20 and 21. There's a sense in which we as Christians in the world, we as Christians as we go out into the world, are a foretaste of the kingdom. People out there in the world who don't know God at all, people out there in the world who don't care about Christianity, don't care about the Bible, they don't know the gospel. If they want to get a taste, a sample, an idea of what God's kingdom is like, they look to us. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying that the power and the vitality of God's heavenly kingdom will be displayed in us right here and now. So in other words, living missionally as these Christians did in Acts chapter 8 means that believers are not only involved in speaking the gospel, calling people to conversion, but living in the power of the gospel, saying, here's what real love looks like. Here's what Jesus' compassion looks like. Here's what true justice looks like. Here's what the healing of the broken world looks like. So this means that living and thinking missionally means that we love the people around us. We love the people in our local church. And we love the people in our community. You know, can I just speak honestly here? I'm going to anyway, whether you want me to or not. We Christians have had the reputation far too long of either being angrily confrontational or bitter isolationist. We're either in your face and showing our anger at the moral turpitude of the world, the moral slide of the world around us, or we're just withdrawing into our cultural shell where we won't be contaminated by the world around us. Thinking missionally means that we love people. We're sent on mission by Jesus to go out there and reach those people who are hurting and reach those people who are broken and reach those people who have been deceived by the lies of the devil and who are caught up and enslaved in those things of the world. The church is sent on mission by Jesus, and it's not that the church has a mission, but really that the mission has a church. God has the mission, and he called a church together and go and do this thing. We join Jesus on his mission. So what I'm talking about, living and thinking and acting missionally as a church and individually, how is this different than what we've always asked people to do? I think that's a valid question. How is thinking missionally different than the traditional thing that the church has said? You need to go to the office and give your coworker a track and tell them they're going to hell. So how is this different than that? Let's define terms, okay? What exactly are we talking about? Defining terms. Number one, evangelism. What is evangelism? Evangelism is normally understood as the act of verbally sharing the good news. We're all asked to do that. We tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord. We call people to repent and believe. We share the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin. We call people to follow Christ. It's our responsibility. Evangelism can be terrifying, especially because we think that we have a message that the world needs to hear, but they really don't want to hear. That's evangelism. Another term needs to be defined is world missions. World missions. world missions is usually seen as the act of the local church sending people cross-culturally to do vocational ministry and evangelism. So we sent Katie Sawyer to Paraguay to train, learn the language, move into an area where the Indians live in order to share the good news of Christ and help with church planting there in Paraguay. A church missions program runs the risk of seeing missions as one of the activities of the church. So what's your church do? Well, we do Awana and we do Sunday school and we have worship on Sunday. Oh, and we have youth group and we do special needs harvest festival and we have church missions program. Oh, okay. So we have those things that we do. It's one of many. But missions is the church's identity. Missions means we're sent. It really defines all that we are. It's not one of many programs. It's who we are. It's our core identity. We are sent. We're sent by God to do His mission. So that's evangelism, world missions. Both are great terms. Both are necessary. Third term, missional. Missional. The way of thinking, an attitude, an approach to life and ministry that means it, an intentional, strategic way of living in one's communities so that relationships are made and opportunities are created to do disciple-making evangelism. Now, that's kind of like, you know, some of you are going back to high school, 11th grade, and, you know, learning these long terms and definitions. Well, let's really make it simple. If I was sent by God to live here in Woodhull Township or in Hazlitt, East Lansing, Owosso, if I was sent by God to be a missionary in that community, how would I live? If God sent me as a missionary, full-time, 24/7 missionary, how would I live in Woodhull Township? At my job? At school, in the neighborhood, community where I live? How would I live in such a way that I create relationships with my neighbors? I develop a relationship beyond work with my coworkers. And those relationships are built so that opportunities are created to share Jesus. Those relationships are deep enough. You trust each other enough. You know each other's heart enough so that you can share the good news of Christ. So I live counterculturally with a purpose. I, as a Christian, I go into my community and I work for justice. I work for peace. I work for good so that God's good news can be shared. So to be missional, it means that a church realizes that we exist to join Jesus in God's mission and the power of the Spirit. And there are a couple of different ways that churches over time have sought to reach the world around them. The traditional model is the attractional church. In the past, the church was culturally much like the community around us. The people in the church, the way that we think, our worldview inside the church was very much like the worldview outside the church. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you could go to your neighbors and 99% chance your neighbors were either Catholic or Protestant, unless you happen to have rarely a Jewish neighbor, Catholic or Protestant. And the way they thought was developed by that. So at the church, we weren't that much different in the way that people think than the world around us. We would invite people as an attractional church. We would invite people and they would come. We would drew people into the church. The problem is a significant cultural shift is happening around us. People now outside the church think very, very, very differently than people do inside the church. And people outside the church think very, very differently from each other. Western culture has become increasingly post-Christian, and the attractional church has lost its effectiveness. You can't just go and invite people and expect that they're just going to come. Missional thinking is, instead of just inviting people to come, being missional means I engage the world in the way Jesus did, by going out, by reaching out. I'm sent by Jesus on mission. I'm a missionary to my local church. Ray Becky. Mission is no longer about crossing the oceans, jungles, and deserts, but about crossing the street. Ed Stetzer. It's possible to be a missionary without ever leaving your zip code. And really, I would say it's not optional for us. It doesn't depend on your giftedness. It's part of our identity as Christians. 2 Corinthians 5, Eugene Peterson paraphrases this. I like the way he paraphrases these verses. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. So missional living means that life should be full of purpose. Life is intentional. God has placed every one of us in a specific, particular time and place that we should minister in that environment. So missional thinking and living missionally as a family, as an individual, means we engage the culture where God has placed us. We're missional. Missional. That means we're on God's mission to go and make disciples. On God's mission to go and make disciples. Who? Who is that? All Christians. Every Christian is to be an agent of God's mission. Thank God for vocational missionaries. I love our vocational missionaries, but most of us are not. There is no New Testament category for people who call themselves Christians who are uninvolved in the mission to reach the world. Where do we go? Where you are. God placed you as a missionary right where you are, in your community. When? All the time. We engage people in every area of their lives. Mission includes our secular vocation, not just our church work, not just our weekend. How? We do this as a lifestyle, by strategically living and speaking the gospel to the world around us. Why? Because God sent us. God is on mission, and he calls us to come and join him. So work this out. If God determined the time and the place where I am to live, where I am to work, and God has sent me on mission to live the gospel in that place, in that shop, in that club, in that neighborhood or office, how can I be the most effective missionary fulfilling the call that God has given to me, proclaiming the good news? We have received amazing grace. So we're compelled by God's love to join Jesus on mission so that his name, his fame will be known. Not just through our own individual lives, through Graham Church all over the world. Will you join God on mission? Let's stand together. Thank you, Father, for your greatness and your glory and your grace and your love for this world. Open our eyes to see the world around us. Not angry eyes, not isolated eyes, but eyes that love people because you do and you have sent us to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.